Joshua chapter 24 will be taking our text from tonight. I'm going to look at two verses, Joshua 24 verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. And I'm going to give you another chance to stand here for just a minute for the reading of God's word when you get there. Joshua 24, starting with verse 14. And here the Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I'd like to preach tonight on this. The title is, "As for me and my house." Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Lord, now you bless it, God. I know that you're the only reason, God, that we're here. And Lord, you're the one that can preach for us tonight. Help us, Lord, with this text. And Lord, may your word just fall upon ears tonight and in hearts. And we'll give the praise for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. If you do much studying in the book of Joshua, then you know that Joshua is the leader that took over after Moses passed, and Joshua stepped up. Joshua was a tried and true soldier. He was a leader, and he was chosen by God to be the next one to lead the children of Israel. Him and two other people got to go into the promised land from the original Israelites. But he comes here, and they're having a problem. It's come down to the end of Joshua's life. He's been around for a long time. In fact, he's about 110 years old at this time. If you read the previous chapter in 23, we saw that Joshua, he was saying that he thought that his final words was being spoken. He thought he was down to the end of his life then when he was speaking to the children of Israel. He had had a good life, fought a good fight. I'm sure that the Lord, when he greeted him in heaven, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But he had led this good fight for the Lord. The Bible said that he was old and stricken in age by that time. He had gathered everyone around to say goodbye and to give some parting thoughts. This was the final year of his life. And like I said, he lived to be 110. And he wanted to make sure that these folks stayed devoted to the Lord. The children of Israel, as you know, always had a problem with falling back and going back into the old ways and falling after idols or going to the in the lands they were in and taking up with their religions. And so Joshua was wanting to tell them before he dies, look, you need to stay in the right path. You need to stay devoted to the Lord, God of heaven. Don't run after all these false gods. And then in chapter 24, Joshua obviously lived a little longer than what he thought he was going to in the previous chapter. And so he calls another final meeting. This is the final meeting that Joshua was going to call together of the children of Israel. He called it together in a place called Shechem. This time it appears to be somewhat of a religious gathering. They've come together to assemble together because it says they presented themselves before God. Now, there is also a good reason to believe that Joshua called for the ark to be brought over from, I believe it was in Shiloh at that time. And so he probably had the priest bring the ark and have it there in that meeting so that those folks understood this was something important he was talking about. And they knew when that ark was there that the presence of God was with them. Now, we have the great news to know that where two or three are gathered together in his name, that he's here too. He's in the midst of them. And so we don't have to have an ark brought in to know that God's with us, but he is with us. If you're saved tonight, he's with you always. He lives within you through the Holy Spirit. But the children of Israel knew that God's presence was with them if that ark was there, so he probably had it in the meeting. And then he goes through a little brief history of their lives, of the history of how God had led Abraham into the land of Canaan and how he had multiplied his seed and he gave him the promise that he promised him. 12 sons, and ended up in Egypt, and how God used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. So that's where they're at. He wants them to remember what all God has done for them. What all God has done for them. He wanted them to have a renewed sense of fear in God as well, because we see that in our text and our opening up. He wanted it really fresh on their minds because he was fixing to get them really hard right in their family legacy when he starts teaching and preaching to them. He's actually preaching a pretty rough message to them right here. And so we look at our opening text. He said in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Well, the first thing Joshua says that they should do is to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. My friend, I want you to know today the first thing that we need to do as a Christian, or even as a human being, if you're not a Christian, you need to have a healthy fear of the Lord. Not that the Lord is going to come at any minute and beat you down. That's not our fear. Our fear is knowing that he is the God that he is. He's all powerful, almighty. He's the creator of the world. He holds your very breath in his hand. At any moment, God could just think the thought and your life could be over with. And we should have a fear of him, of respect is what it is. It's not a fear that he's going to kill me at any moment, but it's a fear of respect and to understand that he is the one that we come to worship. He's the one that leads our lives. I've told this before, but that's the way I feel when I try to get a good idea of how I should respect God and fear God. I think of my father growing up and how I knew the things that I was not supposed to do. And I knew if I did those things and my father found out that I was going to get in trouble. I mean, he was going to come after me because he was the head of our household. What his word was the word. The buck stopped there with Dad. And I knew that. And so I had a real healthy respect for him, even though I may not have acted like it sometimes, because I had this old backside blistered many, many times. But I had a healthy fear and respect of my dad. We should have the same for the Lord. But Joshua is trying to tell them this about this having fear in him. If you look over in Deuteronomy 6:13 through 15, they know that the law plainly states if they don't fear and worship God and do like he's trying to tell them here about serving in sincerity and truth, that they would be wiped off the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 6:13 through 15, the Bible says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." So there was a fear for the children of Israel that God, if they did not abide by what he said, they didn't follow his laws, his covenants, and be true to him, then they would be destroyed. And they needed to be reminded of that. Joshua's giving them a very vivid reminder that they were to do this. He wanted to make sure in his absence that things wasn't going to go downhill, that they weren't going to turn all of a sudden and start worshiping all those false gods that the Amorites were worshiping or wherever they were at the time. We need to, as Christians, we need to do that. Sadly, too many Christians today are just afraid to open their mouth about anything. I mean, people just won't speak out when things are going wrong or when things are not the way God would have them be. And why do you think our country's in the shape it's in today? Why do you think that so many things are happening around our world that we never dreamed would happen? That we said years ago, well, that will never happen here. This is a Christian nation. There's no way that two men will get married together and it be legal. We used to say that. Not anymore. It is legal. All these things that's going on today that they're pushing, letting men go into women's bathrooms and things like that. Friends, it's nothing but perversion. It's perversion. And so we need to understand as Christians, we must speak out. You have probably heard, of course you have, of all the problems going on right now with the Target stores, where Target is allowing in their stores for you to go in any bathroom that you choose to go in, however you felt you were that day. So I could feel that I was a woman one day and walk right in the women's bathroom and there's not a thing they can do to stop me. You can go and just tell them why I think I'm a woman today and just walk in the bathroom. They can't do a thing to you. And so because they've made this statement or this rule in their stores, of course, there's been a petition going around. I don't know if you've signed it. My family signed it. But there's been over 1 million people sign this petition against Target stores and say, we're not going to shop there. We will never walk through your door as long as you're going to do this. And that is our solemn vow tonight. That's my solemn vow to you tonight. I will not step a foot in that store. If it's the last store in Knox County, I will not go in it. And so there's a lot of that stuff going on. Well, what's happened? Christians have allowed the world to take over. When things started happening, when they started passing laws, and they did it a little at a time. First of all, they want you to get used to something for a little while. Well, get used to this one place that's allowing same-sex marriage or this type of behavior. And then gradually it starts going into other states, and then before you know it, the whole country is like that. Why? Because Christians stood by and let just a very tiny percentage of people change things for the whole world. And all we had to do as Christians, there's enough Christians today to stand up and say, we are not going to put up with this anymore. This is foolishness. This is wickedness. This is against God, and we're not going to allow this. We won't go into your places of business. We won't do business with you. We'll have nothing to do with you. Now, people say, well, Brother Byron, we should be lights in a dark world. We should go into Target and witness to people. How many people today are doing that? Are you going into, would you go into Target today and witness to the cashier? Would you go along to the person stocking shelves and say, let me tell you about Jesus? Are you going in and doing that? Are you stopping customers as they go in and out the door? Are you talking about Jesus to them? Are you saying, would you come down to church tonight? We're going to hear some preaching and singing. And do you know the Lord is your Savior? Sadly, no. Christians aren't doing that. There's a few that are. But sadly, we aren't doing that. We're not going around witnessing in stores like that. How can we be a light in the darkness when the darkness is pushing the light out? They're not allowing it in. And so the only way a Christian can voice anything is to stand up against evil. Stand up against evil. Well, Joshua here is trying to instill those values within the children of Israel to make sure when they see evil coming, when they get tempted to go off into to serve strange gods and idols, to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is against God's commandments. And so he says, you need to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Not being shaken like a reed in the wind, too scared to open your mouth, don't want to offend anybody, don't want to get made fun of. People won't even say the name of Jesus in public anymore because they're afraid they're going to get laughed at. Friends, go ahead and let them laugh because there won't be any laughing in hell, I'll tell you that tonight. But Joshua, he's not afraid of offending anybody. He's 110 years old. He's ready to go ahead and offend everybody he can to see that they know the truth. And if it takes offending someone to know the truth, if I have to offend you to let you know you're going to hell, I want to offend you tonight, okay? If that offends you about hell and that you're going there if you're not saved, I hope I offended you enough that you want to find out how you can avoid that. And so there needs to be a healthy fear of the Lord. And he goes even further there by really letting them have it. He says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. What does he mean, put away these gods that your father served? You mean to tell me the children of Israel are serving strange gods? They're worshiping strange gods and idols? Were they really doing that? You better believe they were. Hey, they were going into the assembly like everybody else. They were going around and still putting on the pretense they were worshiping the God of heaven, Yahweh, Jehovah. That those all capital letters, L-O-R-D, in all caps, that means Yahweh or Jehovah. That's who it's talking about. And so they would go in and worship God like everybody else, like they always did. But when they would get out of their worship service, you know what they did? They went home. They pulled back behind the curtain there. And they reached out, and what did they have? They had these little idols. They had these little idols, and they were made out of dung. And they would put these little idols up, and they would bow down to these idols and worship these idols. And that's what the children of Israel had gotten into because of the mixing that they did out into all these pagans that were out there. But that's what they were doing. They were serving strange gods, sitting in a service singing, have thine own way, Lord, but all the time knowing that they were worshiping these false gods. They were shaking hands at church fellowship with other worshipers, but then when they got home and got behind closed doors, they were bound down to false gods. I'm sure that Joshua decided to have this final meeting there. He had in his mind the history of the Israelites. He knew they were prone to turn like this, and I'm sure he was thinking about what happened. We can read about it. Let's look at it in Exodus chapter 32, 1 through 12. Exodus 32. 1 through 12. And I'm sure he had this on his mind as he was having his final meeting with them. Exodus 32, starting with verse 1. And the Bible says, and when the people saw Moses delayed to come down, and Moses has been up communing with God for 40 days, and God was giving him the law and speaking to him, and they were all upset and saying, this man's not coming back. You know, we were better off back in Egypt and all these things. They were complaining and murmuring and going on, but look at it. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They've made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against the people which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. And the Lord did have mercy on them. He did have mercy as he requested. But did you see what happened? God said, these people are stiff-necked. They've built a false idol. They're worshiping it. They're giving this false golden calf the recognition of being the God of Israel and saying that that golden calf brought them out of Egypt. Now, these people had just previously been worshiping and bowing down to the God of heaven, the God of Jehovah, Yahweh. And here they are, bowing down to false gods. So I'm sure Joshua had that in the back of his mind. You see, the children of Israel had the same problem a lot of people have today. A lot of people today want to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. They want to pretend to be something on Sunday and Wednesday and be something else all the other days of the week. They want to put on a pretense they're Christian, but then they want to live their life like somebody that's bound for hell. You know, people may not be hiding little golden or idols out of dung in their closets these days. They may not be doing that, but you can guarantee they're bowing down to an idol somewhere. They've got an idol in their life. You know, there's people who say, well, I'm a Christian, but yet they're still holding on to that bottle of beer tucked in the back of their refrigerator just in case they want to go back to it. We got people that said they laid down their drugs, but yet they've still got them hidden in a sock in their drawer in case they need it. We got people that say that they love God, they're Christians, but yet in their time away from everybody else, they're pulling out nasty magazines and videos and pulling up things on the internet, pornographic websites. And, you know, people are trying to say they worship God, but they're worshiping the world. They're worshiping sin and lust. Joshua says, fear the Lord and serve him and get rid of those nasty idols you're hanging on to. That's what he's saying. Many of these people had idols that had been passed down from their ancestors. And so they were holding on. They were dear to them, these little idols. And they obviously were holding on to them. And this did not set well with Joshua. He knows what they're up to. It doesn't set well with God. It's why he's upset about it. You see, God is a jealous God. The Bible told us he's a jealous God. He doesn't want to share you with anyone or anything. Anything that you put in front of God becomes your idol. That thing that you love to do the most that keeps you away from God, keeps you away from studying His Word, keeps you away from praying to Him, keeps you away from church, that thing that's keeping you away from God is your idol tonight. Whatever it is, it can be anything. You may love to collect bottles. Well, I can't come to church tonight. I'm collecting bottles. There's bottles everywhere. I'm going down the ditch line picking up bottles. That's your idol. You think that's funny, but friends, any little thing. I can't go to church tonight. You know the race is on. Talladega tonight. Well, that race isn't over yet. I've got to stay at home and watch that race. That became your idol right there. Anything that you put between you and God is an idol, and God hates it. And Josh was saying here, you better fear the Lord, and you better do the things that He wants you to do. He wants you all. He don't want part of you. He don't even want 3/4 of you. He wants your entire person. He's a jealous God. He wants you all. Verse 15 of our opening text, he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But it's for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." We're going to serve Yahweh. We're going to serve Jehovah. Joshua's not backing down. He's going to let them have it with a 1-2 punch. He tells them that they needed to choose right now who they were going to serve. Because you're not going to go around keep pretending that you're serving God, that Yahweh. You're not going to keep doing this. So you make up your mind right now. Is your family going to worship God of heaven? Or are they going to worship these strange gods of the Amorites? Or those little idols that your forefathers handed down to you? Are you going to continue doing that? Are you going to let your family worship those dead false idols? Or are you going to bow down and worship the God of heaven? Because you've got to make a decision, and you've got to make it now. Today, he says, for him and his house, he'll serve the Lord. And so there are no other choices given. You know, one or the other. Jesus himself, Jesus says this in Matthew 6:24. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." That's from our Lord Jesus today. You can't think that you can hold on to the sin and the world and still hold on to God the way He wants you to. You can't do it. He just says right there, you'll despise Him. You keep doing that and you'll despise Him. Well, God doesn't like this, but I love it so much. How could it be wrong? If He loved me, He'd allow me to keep doing this because I like it. It pleases me. You'll start despising God. And friends, I want you to know today, you can't serve both of them. You need to make up your mind. That's what Josh was telling them. You better make up your mind right now. You know, if Joshua was a current Baptist preacher right now, he'd probably say something like this. Friends, you need to make up your mind right now which God you're going to serve. It's going to be the Lord God of heaven, or it's going to be that nasty, hellish thing that you're keeping in your closet. That thing that you're hiding, that you think nobody knows about, but God knows about it. Then Joshua, at 110 years old, knowing that he would soon be breathing his last breath on earth, makes this profound statement. "But as for me and my house," in other words, not just me, my house, me, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, even my dog is going to serve the Lord. That's my house. We're all serving God. That's what we're doing. You make up your mind what you're doing, but I know what I'm doing. And I'm doing what God says. And me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Friends, we need men today to stand up in their homes. And they're going to say, look, kids, wife, whoever it is trying to drag the house down, whoever it is causing all the sin in the house and causing everybody to lead astray, look, this is not going to keep going on. We're not going to serve this. We're not going to serve sin. We're not going to have this going on in our home. We're going to serve the God of heaven. We're not going to allow this garbage into our house. We're not going to allow these things to come over the television and the movies. We're not going to rent movies that are nasty. We're not going to listen to such disgusting things on the radio, these songs with all the bad lyrics, the cussing and cursing. We're not going to allow that to go on in our house because we don't serve that. We serve the God of heaven, and we have a fear of Him. And for me and my house and everybody in it, you're going to serve God. That's what we're doing. We need men today to stand up and do that. If we had men today that would stand up and say, my house is serving God, we wouldn't have to worry about Target letting men go into women's bathrooms. It wouldn't be going on. Because every house, if a man would stand up and say, we're not doing this, we're serving the God of heaven, then everybody would know, hey, we don't go for that. We don't do that. But sadly, today we don't have enough men or women to stand up and say, no, we're not doing that. Nowadays, we just roll over. Nowadays, we just say, well, I guess there ain't nothing we can do about it. I reckon that's just the way it is. You know, the Bible said there'd be days like this, and we just give up. There's no place to give up. Until the Lord calls us out of here, we got to keep on keeping on. We got to keep bowing down and worshiping God. We got to serve the God of heaven is what we've got to do. We can't allow our families to fall apart. We can't allow things in our lives that's going to drag us down. It's going to keep that bondage of sin upon our lives. Friends, if that thing, that sin that so easily besets you, you need to get that out of your life tonight. I don't care what it is. Maybe it's a big sin, a little sin, but whatever that thing is that nags you the most, you need to get that thing out of your life because it's causing strife between you and God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why do you think we have generations of people that no longer worship in God's house? Why do you think this church, other churches all around in Knox County, you can go in tonight and find empty pew after empty pew? Because we've got people tonight that say they're Christians sitting at home right now, sitting at home, bowing down to the television, bowing down to their cookouts, bowing down to going shopping, bowing down to going out to eat. They're doing all these other things. They're not coming to the house of God and saying, God, I love you. I worship you. I'm here to lift you up and exalt you. They're not doing that tonight. Sadly, you go out and you go ask them, have you ever been saved? Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. That's what they'll say, but they're not living the life of a Christian. Those simple things that you probably never think of, that hold on to you, that you indulge in, they'll show up in the lives of your children. That thing that you thought that only you knew about, it'll go on down to your kids. You show me a dad that sleeps all day and stays up all night and then sleeps all day on Sunday, don't go to church, I'll show you a kid that's going to grow up. He's going to sleep all day and he's going to stay up all night and he's going to carouse and mess around. He ain't going to the church. That's just the way it is. Friends, it's too important to ignore it. You know, I lay the fault squarely upon the shoulders of Christians that has allowed this to happen. It's allowed this to happen in their homes. Well, I didn't want to upset them. I didn't want to make them mad. Well, this is the only time we could get together is on Sunday. You know, I don't want to make little Junior upset. He's got a new video game he wanted to play tonight. And, you know, I don't think we have to go all the time. That's how it begins. Next thing you know, Sunday rolls around. Yes, don't really feel like going tonight. Next thing you know, you're out of church. You're out. And that's how it all begins. Friends, we need to be about the Father's business, and we need to understand that our house, as a Christian, we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord. And it begins in your house. It begins in your house. Everybody right now is concerned about who's going to be in the White House this coming election. I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter. I don't see that there's going to be a great change made, not the way this world is. But I do know this. If you want change, if you want to see the world turn around, it starts in your house. The White House isn't where it starts. It starts in your house. Let's pray together tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the message. Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's one here tonight that, Lord, if this message has touched their heart and, Lord, you've convicted them, Lord, would you help them with that tonight, with that struggle they're going through? Lord, if they've been serving other idols, God, putting things in their life that's before you, Lord, not caring, Lord, that you should be number one, Lord, would you straighten that out in their lives? Would you, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, touch their heart, their mind, their souls, their life, God, show them the need that they need to be serving God. Lord, help us here tonight. These things I ask in Jesus' name, and amen.